This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track, and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Hello and welcome to the Glow Show podcast. My name is Dee Mason. I'm your host and I'm in the studio today with leading senior constable Gabrielle Tyack, Jen Dixon, who's the LGBTI portfolio manager at Victoria Police, and our very special guest, Bonnie Kavanagh, who's senior policy officer, Aboriginal portfolio, priority communities of Victoria Police. Welcome, Bonnie.
Thank you for having me.
And welcome, Jen Dixon.
Thank you very much.
As always, Gabby Tyack.
Bonnie sounds so important.
Which is our very special guest. Bonnie, you've been with Victoria Police for over 10 years.
Yes.
Do you want to share with us and our listeners your journey through policing at Victoria Police?
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky with my journey so far. So 10 years and it's just sort of ticked over the other month. So I've always wanted to work for Victoria Police. When I went to university, I studied criminology. At the end of my degree, I had to do some work placement and I always wanted to get into forensic science. So
we all did.
Yeah, I was...
Thank you, CSI.
Yeah, exactly. But quickly learnt that it's nothing like the TV show. Anyway, so I approached the Victoria Police Forensic Services Centre and asked if I could do some work placement there. And they kindly took me on for a few months. And then straight after I finished that up, there was a job offer at the end of it, which was fantastic. So I got to do 6 years working within the Forensic Services Department and started off in the photographic unit and then moved in to be a fingerprint trainee.
All I needed to hear. When I read fingerprint, I was just like, does that mean you're just going and dusting cars or is it more exciting than that?
It's pretty much everything. Yeah, it's a very full-on job. So they do incredible work at identifying offenders and, you know, bring justice to victims and everything. So there's a lot of scene work from, you know, your minor crime all the way up to your major crime.
You're wearing paper booties for most of it.
Yeah. And the very nice looking overalls and the Tyvek suits and, you know, on
what's
hot
the
days.
Craziest thing you've ever lifted a print off?
Oh, the craziest thing. There's been plenty. I think a surprising one is like duct tape. And that you can get prints off, you know,
the sticky side
of adhesives.
Idiots.
Yeah, it's you normally get them to try and cover up, you know, weapons and things like that. And yeah, you can get prints off those, which is pretty amazing.
If I was a criminal and I'm trying to clean up my crime scene, what's the biggest mistake that the criminals make in terms of wipe down?
Oh, probably not doing that.
We can't give anyone any hints. No. We want to catch these people.
Exactly. I can't give away
Welcome
too many of those.
Welcome to
hints.
Evading police.
By Bonnie Kavanagh.
So we've got to the point where you've gone into fingerprinting.
Yeah. So I did that for a few years and achieved so much and got to, you know, do a lot of incredible work and work with incredible people there. And then I saw an opportunity to move into more of the corporate side of things and take a rest from the frontline crime scene work and started to work in the media and corporate comms department. And there I got to learn a lot about, you know, how to best communicate with our frontline members as well as our other employees across the organisation. And that's actually quite tricky if you're, you know, learning to give information to members who are constantly on the go. And some of it's very important, secure information that you need to get out to them in a hurry. And so it was 3 years of learning how best to communicate, not only internally but externally with community as well, with the work that we do.
So you've obviously had an amazing career with Victoria Police, but you were born and raised in Broadford, Victoria.
Yes.
And you identify as a Tungurung woman.
That's right.
And so how did you find your way to policing? Is that incongruous in your community or is it a natural career path?
Yeah, well, Broadford is a very, very small town up the Hume. And I guess even going to high school, very small high school, and a lot of people didn't aspire to go into, you know, big careers in the city. There was only sort of a handful of us that wanted to go to university, and because there were a few, I guess, barriers to entry, and that's more along the lines of travel and moving away from home and, you know, not having a lot of experience of coming, you know, into the city and the opportunities that, you know, some students get that don't live in rural areas as well. So it's kind of a really daunting to put forward an application to to attend university in Melbourne. So the policing thing was just an interest over time. It wasn't nothing that was sort of spoken about a lot in community, but it's just something that I wanted to do always.
But a little birdie told me you're actually head girl up at up at your high school. Yes. There in Broadford. So yeah. did you find the teachers trying to steer you in a particular path?
Not really, to be honest. It was sort of self-driven a lot, and I think you sort of need that sometimes if you're coming from these really small community areas out in the country. You really have to put yourself out there, and and that's what I want to encourage, especially for the Aboriginal community. My community is to really put yourself out there and have a go, and there are support networks you can link in with, and really make a career for yourself. And it's not that daunting after all when you take that step.
is there a big Indigenous community around that area?
There is, a lot of areas you'd be surprised that there are, quite a few and really strong networks around there. The actual head Tanarong office is in Broadford as well, which is fantastic. So it's good to have that, really, really local connection to my country. So, yeah.
Let me ask Gabby Tyack, just more broadly, before we get on to the Indigenous aspect of this, how do you go recruiting regional, I imagine there's a wealth of excellent officers from regional Victoria. What's recruitment like outside of urban areas?
I know that recruitment goes out to outer suburbs to promote joining Victoria Police. So I'm assuming they would go out into rural areas as well. Mm-hmm. I know there's a recruitment drive going on or a session going on out at Sunshine, perhaps next week. So all you would have to do is get onto the recruitment website, so Victoria Police Recruitment, and they would have a list of where they're having recruitment drives and sessions. Mm-hmm. They do online sessions as well, so webinars where you can find out information. So we are looking to recruit people from rural areas, from different communities, from different backgrounds, from different sexual orientations and gender diversities. We want Victoria Police to represent the community that we police.
But presumably if you're from a rural, regional Victorian town, you're the best person to police in that town. Is that right? Or is it best not to have somebody that knows Kevin and his uncles?
Well, I mean, a lot of the time you don't have much say as to where you go, initially when you join, you were sent where you needed and where they need members to be. It's only after you've done your 2 years, you've got an opportunity to move around and look for positions and perhaps go back to where you were brought up. So if you came from Broadford, you'd have to come into possibly working in the city or anywhere that you're placed in your first couple of years. And then if you wanted to go back to your own community, look at going back there. But it might take a few years, but you can eventually get back to where you want to be.
Which is what Bonnie has done. You've not gone back to Broadford, but you've managed to get yourself back into working with the Aboriginal community's portfolio. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so that was the next sort of step from working within the media team, and it was somewhere that I aspired to be. I did want to eventually come to work with my community as well as, my policing family, I guess, because I stepped into this role about a year or so ago. So it was just that natural step. When I saw the opportunity, I grabbed it with both hands to be able to help my community as well as the police and strengthen those connections between my community and the police as well.
Jen Dixon, let me ask you this. There's a thing within Victoria Police called priority communities. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm guessing that, I understand that the Aboriginal portfolio comes under that umbrella.
It does.
And does LGBTI as well?
Yes, absolutely.
So we've got. Can you list me the priority communities?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've obviously got LGBTI, Aboriginal, we've got mental health, we've got a youth portfolio, disabilities and seniors, as well as new and emerging communities, multicultural.
That's all falling into place. So Dani Houseman is seniors, under that.
So she's, okay, right. She was the ex-LGBTI portfolio manager.
Yeah, so the Aboriginal portfolio manager is Sharon Payton, and she's just been a fantastic mentor for me and something that I definitely aspire to going into, hopefully stepping up into a role like that in the near future.
So. Speaking of mentoring, though, you're actually on your own little recruitment drive. Don't you have cousins that have also joined the police force because of you?
My sister, yes, she has told me, which I'm very proud of, that I inspired her to become a police officer, and I do have a cousin as well, which is fantastic, and I can't promote a career with Victoria Police more highly. It's a fantastic place to work, so I'm rapt to have my sister in the job and also a cousin. It's awesome.
Look out, Broadford. Keep it nice up there, guys, because they're coming back. The sisters are coming back. Jen, can you see any correlations between the need under the broad umbrella of priority communities? Is there correlations between the needs in the LGBTI community and the Indigenous communities?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Particularly in terms of reporting of crime, as well as, you know, historically our interaction with both communities. There's obviously quite a marred history in some ways with the way that policing has enacted conversations and dialogues with those communities, and we've been working on that. Victoria Police have been engaging with both communities over the last 20, 30 years, probably more closely over the last 10, I would say, that more ground has been made. But yeah, absolutely. With any minority population, if I can say that, priority communities, as we like to refer to them as, we try to tailor our approach and have a strong engagement with community as much as we can. We have portfolio reference groups, and I believe the first Aboriginal portfolio reference group for a while has recently taken place. Sharon and Bonnie both worked really hard on getting that up over the last few months. So we have quite an intimate engagement with community. And yeah, there are a lot of similarities between both populations. And again, it comes back to reporting of prejudice-motivated crime, general perceptions of police, perceptions of safety. Not everybody that's in LGBTI community or Aboriginal community is met with a pleasant police response, unfortunately. It does happen from time to time. And so we work on how we educate members and bring them along with training, as well as trying to make the workplace as fair and equitable as possible.
How important is recruiting from within communities, priority communities, to achieving that goal?
Oh, absolutely. So we work actually quite closely with applicant attraction. So as Gab was mentioning before, they go out and do a number of drives, and we've actually had the opportunity to feed into that. And now they, for instance, one of the things they were looking at recently is how many LGBTI people actually attend recruitment drives, which was actually quite a substantial amount. I think it was 17% of all people that attended this particular event, which is over representative of the community, were actually at this drive, which is great because we want to see as many people from LGBTI community as well as Aboriginal and all others coming into the force. We want to try and make it as diverse as possible. We are we're the most diverse community in Australia, and so we want our police force to be representative of that. So we're encouraging everybody from all priority communities to engage with us as much as possible.
Because the famous phrase is police our community and community our police.
Absolutely.
Bonnie, what do you think are the issues, the biggest issues facing the Indigenous community and its relationship to Victoria Police?
So obviously we've got that strong historical connection with police were used to be removing children, I guess, and during that Stolen Generation time. So there's always going to be that historical context to how police were used during those policies. So it's that intergenerational trauma that we've got flowing through from our elders to our young people, that we're really working hard with Victoria Police members to break down those barriers and really work at getting that trust and confidence back into the police force. We've also got our Aboriginal community liaison officers as well that are Aboriginal employees at Victoria Police. And we also have our PALOs, which are the police Aboriginal liaison officers, who some are Aboriginal and most aren't. And they're all across the state, and they work towards being that conduit between community and police and really getting them to understand the role of police, but also giving them that trust and confidence to maybe come forward through them and have those conversations with police, whether they're victims, whether they're offenders, and you know, really trying to link them up with a policing service that they can have confidence in.
That's great. So they're like the GLOWs, but in your priority community.
That's it, yeah.
And I was going to say, Jen, you can obviously see a lot of similarities there between the LGBTI community and the Aboriginal community, particularly in terms of how, as Bonnie was saying, the police were used as the arm of the law to persecute people for homosexual acts, for being engaging in homosexuality prior to 1981, and unfortunately for some time afterwards as well, and how communities still have, particularly people that experienced at the time, similar to Aboriginal people, a huge mistrust of police, and how that intergenerational scarring has infiltrated young people's perceptions in some ways, particularly if they've seen family members or they have the stories of aunties and uncles, and in the case, unfortunately, of the Aboriginal people having been removed from their families. It does carry over, and it's one thing that we talk about quite a lot with our portfolio reference group. And so particularly Sharon Payton and myself speak about this quite a lot, and obviously the ongoing conversation around self-determination in Victoria and treaty and all those kinds of conversations. Sharon and I have discussed at length, as well as marriage equality, and it's actually quite an emotional topic for both of us, because we both recognise the similarities in the trauma that we've experienced as a community, and we both have total and utter support for our communities. She has my back, I have hers, as I know Bonnie does, and I think the communities can have a tendency in certain pockets to bond over that.
Do you feel any vibe, Jen, from your associated portfolio managers that you got all the attention last year because of marriage equality and now it's time to spread it out a bit? Like, 'cause there's a lot of focus on the LGBTI community and there's a lot of rainbows around.
Look,
but do you support each other in that?
Like, oh, absolutely, absolutely. Look, all the portfolio managers are enormously supportive. We do try and work across portfolios as much as possible.
But there must be such intersections. I was just thinking when you said them, there's aged and homosexuality, there's LGBTI and mental health, there's Indigenous and LGBTI.
And, of course, people are complex. So you can be an older person who's Aboriginal with a disability and also transgender.
20 points.
Absolutely. So, we discuss intersectionality through the portfolios. That's actually our number one focus within our division. But in terms of LGBTI, look, yeah, there was a huge focus, but there's always an ongoing focus as well with new and emerging communities, young people, and particularly Aboriginal. So I think that we all sort of get a bit of a share of the limelight. Perhaps there's other portfolios that maybe need a bit more attention, such as seniors.
Certainly your learnings over the last year, and also you, Gabby, the learnings that the GLOWs have made in terms of outreach into the community, surely the models that you've created, and certainly even just doing a podcast like this to outreach into the community, certainly they can be shared with the other.
Well, this is a podcast that Bonnie can share into the Aboriginal community through her networks that we don't have. So maybe we'll get some more listeners, a broader listenership from sending it out through another network.
Sure. Yeah. So this week's NAIDOC Week, the 8th to the 15th of July across Australia. Bonnie, would you be able to explain to us, it's a tricky acronym, I'll give you that, but are you able to give us the NAIDOC Week, what it means technically, and then what it means to you within community?
Yeah, absolutely. So the NAIDOC acronym, we love acronyms in Victoria Police as well, don't we?
We do.
So it stands for National Aborigines and Islanders Day Observance Committee. So that's what the acronym stands for. But NAIDOC is really just a time for us all to, you know, get together and really celebrate our culture and our history and, you know, and our achievements as Aboriginal people. So it's fantastic that we can have the Victorian Week as well as, you know, the National Week, and so that we can extend more events and get to not only return to our local communities but spread the love across the state. So NAIDOC have a theme each year, and this year it is called Because of Her We Can, which is fantastic. So we're really celebrating the female leaders within the Aboriginal community and our elders, and really celebrating, you know, women's contribution to the Aboriginal community, which is fantastic. So you'll see that slogan around the NAIDOC Week events, which is awesome.
What can we expect in terms of activations by Victoria Police to celebrate and signify the event?
Yeah, so given across the state there'll be celebrations in local communities, we do have representation from our police members, and if there is an Aboriginal community liaison officer in the area as well, they'll go and attend all the local events as well. So we do have representation within community across the whole state, and they will be supporting community to run barbecues even at the police station sometimes, or at a community hub and things like that. So we do support across the whole state a lot of community events, so which is fantastic. The Chief Commissioner will host the main event for Victoria Police. So that'll be on the 4th of July. And we do host that out in community. We don't sit there and have it in the, you know, the four walls of the corporate offices or anything like that. We want to extend it out into the community. So we're holding in Geelong this year. And we invite community members and we make sure everyone's involved in the planning. And
do you know whose land that is in Geelong?
It's Wathaurong.
Okay.
And that's something that Victoria Police are excellent at. They do the acknowledgements at meetings and key events, and they really touch base with us in the portfolio to find out, you know, the correct country they're on and making sure that they're engaged with the right people if they're going to do a welcome, because obviously a traditional owner needs to perform that welcome. So they're very engaged in making sure that we do pay their respect to the traditional owners.
Can I ask Gabby Tyack, how important is acknowledgement of country in Victoria Police?
It's hugely important. As Bonnie was saying, everywhere that we go and everything that we attend, we acknowledge the country that we're standing on. So, I mean, we all do. Everything I've been to, every senior police member and lower ranks too, if they're presenting or getting up and talking talking to a group of people, they acknowledge the country that they're
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it's not just at events. It's actually during meetings. Yep. So we open meetings with an acknowledgement of country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's leadership, because I noticed that, because it certainly also happens in the arts community. So if you go to an event, they always acknowledge country. Mm-hmm. And I was with an older Australian and he was like, it's jingoistic, it's tokenistic. And I thought, no, it's not. We do this until it becomes so natural that the next generation does this. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know how you go with it, Bonnie, but I find that people, particularly over the age of 80, just they're not going to change. And I wonder whether things like NAIDOC Week, I was really struck by the fact that you use the term celebration and acknowledgement of people rather than protest or arcing up. I think that that's the idea of NAIDOC is, I mean, obviously there's implied protest in everything, but it is a celebration of culture, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Another thing that we actually have across the state is all police stations have the Aboriginal flag flying out the front. So there's usually two flagpoles at each station, the Australian flag and the Aboriginal flag. And so for LGBTI, on LGBTI planned events throughout the year, and we have a number of them where we actually put the flag up. We can do that if there's a third flagpole, and so that we never actually take the Aboriginal flag down. It's always flying at the front of every police station.
Which I had not noticed that. I've seen it up over NAIDOC Week, but I hadn't. But I guess you're looking for it then.
No, but it's at every station.
The flag protocols do have the Australian flag followed by the state flag, and then the third flagpole would normally be the Aboriginal flag.
So, but if they have three.
If they've got the three, but a lot of people do put the Aboriginal flag on the second flagpole, which is a fantastic show of respect for our First Nation people.
So knocking off the state flag.
It is,
good.
Yes.
Good to see. Hey, we are running out of time, but I did have a quick question for you. Obviously, you're an overachiever, Bonnie. I'm loving to see the career you've had. I'm particularly tickled by your forensic work, and I don't think there's anybody in this room old enough to remember the Kay Scarpetta mysteries. No, she was a very...
No.
Every old Leso at home is going, oh, yeah, Kay Scarpetta. She was a forensic sort of detective in America in the sort of 90s. Mm-hmm. I want to say that, but it's probably the 80s.
Oh, maybe anyway. It was 70s, T.
Hey, and anyway, but it prompted me to think, who's going to play you in the story of your life when it goes to the silver screen?
Oh, God, this is such a tricky question, but I hope
the other two are thinking of yours.
I have no idea.
If it's for likeness, I always get Minnie Driver.
You do? You would?
Yes. I always get that. And also, I don't know her name, but the girl from Bones, which is very ironic.
Yes.
isn't she one of the Deschanels? Is that
who?
Her? Is that Zoe Deschanel's sister?
Maybe. I'm not sure of her name, but anyway, I get her as well. And I get the nickname Bones from a few people.
Yeah, I can see that. And the girl from The L Word.
No. See,
Jenny Schechter.
No, you're totally off on that one.
Gab. I do love it.
There is.
You know what I love? I love it that Bonnie's got no idea what we're talking about.
I don't know what to say. I'll just
think that you and I are striking that one down.
Bonnie's a great ally of the LGBT community, but she's not such an ally that she's sat there and watched every episode of The L Word like the rest of us have. Jen Dixon.
Oh, God. I honestly can't think of – I can't think of one person, to be honest with you. And it's so funny. The only person that ever jumps to mind when I'm asked this question about who would you have dinner with, and I love Joanne Lumley, of course. She would – nothing like me at all. So can I just change the question to, I'd like to hang out with Joanna Lumley?
No, she's a great method actor and she's going to play you in the story of your life.
Why not? She brings a bottle of champagne along, has a few laughs. Great.
I love that. Gabby?
Yeah, see, I don't know. Because is it meant to be someone who you think looks like you or someone that you like?
Is this about the Veronicas?
Maybe.
It's always about the Veronicas.
I've picked Robin Wright. Thank you for no apparent reason. I just love her. And, you know, at a push. We're the same age. Hey, Jen Dixon, LGBTI Portfolio Manager with Victoria Police. Thanks so much for your time, Gabby Tighe, as always.
Well, hopefully we'll see you all at some NAIDOC Week event.
Sure.
Somewhere in the country.
That's right. Bonnie Kavanagh, Senior Policy Officer, Aboriginal Portfolio, Priority Communities with Victoria Police. Thanks so much for sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
NAIDOC Week is 8th to the 15th of July, but in Victoria, 2nd to the 8th, there'll be celebrations as well. Because of Her We Can is the slogan, and you can get more information at NAIDOC, NAIDOC.org.au. I've been Dee Mason. You're on the Glow Show podcast on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/theglowshow to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.